This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome to The Rest Is Football with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and me, Gary Lineker. We've had another dramatic couple of days in the Champions League in which we've seen both English clubs are knocked out of the competition. Now, I'm not one of those fans that doesn't want English teams not to do very well if I don't support them. And I know a lot of people would have actually taken pleasure from the defeats of Arsenal and Manchester City, but I'm certainly not one of them. Mike, you won't be because they're two of your teams that you follow. Alan, as a Newcastle fan, we're English football fans, aren't we, really, as well? It was a bad night last night, wasn't it? Because we're recording this on the Thursday.
It was a bad night, yeah. Before the game, I thought both clubs actually would have gone through. I was fairly confident. So I was very surprised. I mean, I wanted them to go through. Yeah, the longer they're in it, then the better it is for all of us. But yeah, I was really surprised at both results, really.
Yeah, I'd agree with Alan on that. It was just disappointing, especially the way Man City went out. You dominate the game, especially in that second half. You create so many opportunities, although not clear-cut opportunities, a couple half chances. And there's this thing going around with Man City now, and everyone's very disappointed when Man City don't win because of the fact that they're such a good team. But I was actually proud of the City boys. I really was. It's how far they've come. They're playing Real Madrid at home and they have like something like 66% possession. You know, a team from where they were 10 years ago to now. But it was just a bitter blow to go out in penalties. And I don't buy into this notion that because Madrid have won it 14 times, they're more experienced. I just think in this particular game, it was a 50-50 draw. Maybe Madrid dealt with it better in that situation. Look, Man City were the holders of the competition. They know how to win the competition. But it was quite sad to see the reaction on social media where everyone is so happy that Man City are out. I really don't get it. When Liverpool was winning it, I was happy for them. When United was winning it, I was happy for them. Obviously, Arsenal have not won it. But yeah, I don't like this divisive attitude on social media.
It's the tribality of it, isn't it, really?
Exactly that.
We used to it. And let's be honest, Manchester City were miles the better.
Miles!
Over the two legs, and particularly in the second leg. They played them off the park. I saw an interview with Jude Bellingham, who handles himself so brilliantly, and someone asked him about Ancelotti, and he said, tactically, what does he do? What makes him so special? And he was saying, it's kind of the freedom he gives us. And I thought, freedom in that game, you played like Luton. You were playing like did on Saturday. You played 10 people, every man behind the ball, and you just hoped to hit them on the counter-attack occasionally. And it worked in this. And credit to them. They defended well. and Real Madrid do know how to somehow find a way, and they have that winning mentality, clearly. But they were bloody lucky. Really, really lucky not to lose that game. And we've seen it before a couple of years ago, wasn't it, when they went through the three ties with who was it? Was it Chelsea, PSG, and Manchester City, wasn't it? City. And they were outplayed in all of those. But they do have that thing that they do seem to churn out results. I think Pep said after the game that Johan Cruyff told him that there's no such thing as good luck, which I totally disagree with. I think you're lucky if you're born with the skill to play football and you can actually play football for a job in life. So there's one example of a little bit of good fortune. You could see how sick Pep was. He was absolutely gutted because he knew they played brilliantly and they were just up against a team that defended brilliantly. Rudiger was so strong at the back, wasn't he? He really was. Haaland never had a sniff, but... it's just one of those things. But that in many ways is the beauty of football, isn't it? The beauty of football is that the best team doesn't always win. Now, that sounds like a bit unfair, but that's what makes football so special. If a team's dominant in other sports, they get battered and it's done and they win easy and it's fairly boring. In football, there's always a chance that you can win against all odds. And I think, and that added to the value of a goal, which we really saw in this game, the goal is so special a moment that you don't get that in other sports. Because, you know, say basketball, for example, loads of points. Tennis has loads of games, loads of sets, all sorts of things like that. But the value of a goal is so huge. That, you know, and so a small club can beat a big club. And it felt like this was a small club beating a big club. I know that sounds ridiculous because it's Real Madrid. If Barcelona had played that way, I'm telling you, there'd have been demonstrations in the streets in Barcelona.
Yeah, but you know what? What I was impressed with, you've got, I don't know, how many superstars have you got on that Real Madrid team? You've got Vinicius, you've got Bellingham now, you've got Rodrigo. Three of them I've just mentioned, they're working their absolute plums off for God knows how long in that game. And it was, and you don't go there and get dominated like they did and then getting the result you want without the whole team working. So you talk about superstars and the ability and this, and that's what most impressed me about Madrid, how everyone had to do their job, including the big superstars, the game changers, you know, the one with the most ability in terms of scoring a fantastic goal or beating four or five players, that shown what they can do for the team as well.
Totally agree. I suppose, you know, we didn't see much of Real Madrid going forward, hardly at all, apart from probably the goal, really, and one or two other little breakaways. But the incredible touch and a little bit of skill of Jude Bellingham that contributed to Real Madrid's goal in that game was a bit special, wasn't it, Micah?
Seriously, I mean, we're running out of superlatives to talk about this man. And I hope he doesn't use it all just at Madrid. We want to save a little bit for the Euros, don't we? But that touch was just fabulous. And his interview after the game, everything about him, it just seems like top level. Like, and I really hope he can keep this going.
He's 20.
This is why I'm so nervous about bigging him up so much, because I don't want that in two or three years, we might be saying what could have been, but all the signs we're seeing now, because he's so level-headed, because he's so tactically aware, because he's got the flair and the attitude and the confidence to what we've been needing for so long, I just think he's got the full package. I really do. And hopefully in the summer, he can bring it home for all of us.
Well, if it's not this summer, it'll be 2 years after that. And if not that, it'll be 2 years after that. I mean, there's only a tournament every 2 years and they're difficult things to win. It's knockout football. Like we saw in the Champions League last night, you know, you can come up one day and it doesn't go for you, so you can get knocked out. They're knockout competitions. And it's actually harder in a national tournament, because obviously you get one go, whereas in this, at least there's two legs that you can do something about it. But obviously as well, I might point this out that... if we still had the away goals rule, Manchester City would have gone through.
I know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can't be bitter. Like we said, Alan was exactly right. We talk about how Real Madrid defended, and one man in particular, Rudiger.
Oh, yeah.
he said in an interview they're out for revenge and he didn't give Haaland a kick. Concentration, he was aggressive, positioning, alongside Nacho, who is a midfielder really by trade. He's just at the back pulling the strings and organising everything. We've got to give credit to them too at the back.
It was a shock to see Kevin De Bruyne knock that one over the bar, which would have clinched it. But, you know, everyone could miss a chance. De Bruyne and Haaland went off before the penalty shootout. Apparently, they requested to come off, according to Pep Guardiola said.
Really?
That was exactly my response. I went, really?
Unless you're hobbling around on one leg, a request to come off.
Pep, that's what Pep said, reliably told, which is...
Interesting.
I mean, I don't think I've ever asked to come off a game in my life, have you? And I can't.
In a game in that, of a game of that magnitude, yeah. Can I come off, boss? Really? I'd be amazed.
Yeah, me too. Totally amazed. Did you fancy them to win the Pens?
To be honest, I was doing a game for CBS, and I was saying City need to win this before Pens. Because it just opens it up, doesn't it? 50-50. You know, when you have a sinking feeling, I don't know if it was more the nervousness of the game, but for some reason, Madrid had got it to penalties after defending so well. I just thought, yeah, it's going to be their day. So I wasn't really confident, if I'm totally honest, guys.
I thought the same. And they've had a tendency, if they've had a weakness in the last few years, they have missed quite a few penalties. Plus, it's Real Madrid, and you think, Real Madrid do win a lot. I mean, you know, when they're up against it, you've got to give them, you know, that credit, that never say die spirit that they've got at that football club.
I know he's a fantastic goalkeeper and he's a brilliant passer of the ball. But what about him taking a penalty before so many outfield players?
Wow. You'd be embarrassed as an outfield player.
Honestly,
though,
of course you would be. You're thinking, what? Good goalkeeper.
It's just about the best penalty.
It was a brilliant penalty. I know it was, but you're thinking, oh my God. I mean, compared to Kovacic's and Silva's penalty.
Well, Silva's penalty, you know what he was doing. He was just hitting it down the middle, assuming it was the only penalty that a goalkeeper didn't dive.
Good homework.
They must have done homework. That's what I was thinking. They must have done homework because he stood and waited and he just gets caught. That's the trouble when you go down the middle. I mean, speaking from personal experience, you do look a dope, don't you, when the keeper just stands there?
Yeah.
You do look a dope.
There was something on social media and there was a penalty that Bernardo Silva took against Arrizabalaga, is that
very nicely
correct?
Pronounced.
Yes, Arrizabalaga. And there was a little bit of whispering going on to the goalkeeper. It was Lunin, who's obviously was supposed to be third choice. Obviously, Arrizabalaga has not been playing that well. Obviously, they have Courtois as well. And basically telling him that he goes down the middle. So when you talk about homework, Gary, I think that's exactly what was done on that penalty. And it paid dividend for him, didn't it?
Those are the little differences. But, you know, Manchester City have won the competition last year. We talked about the possible history of consecutive trebles. I mean, it just shows you how hard it is, isn't it, to pull off something like that once in your lifetime, let alone twice running.
Well, particularly with a mic that are around, you're talking about Real Madrid and all that. So, yeah, it's like, I mean, it's ridiculously... I mean, for us to even mention it and that they had a chance of doing it, and a really good chance, shows how good they have been, how difficult it is. Having said all that, they've still got the chance to finish the season off remarkably well, incredibly well still. Although they'll be down in the dumps and feeling it. They've got such an important game again at the weekend, so... It's back on the bike, as they say, and away you go again, isn't it? No time to sulk. It's a huge game.
Yeah. I presume you were working on CBS, were you, last night?
Yes, Micah? Correct, yeah.
Which game did you primarily cover?
It was the Man City. That was
the general perception amongst, I mean, like Thierry, I presume, was with you?
Yes. So Thierry was talking about, and I think a message in the group yesterday, when Foden on the right... We did something for Match of the Day Top 10 the other day and we talked about Foden on the right. And we've had conversations about interlinking, rotating, all them sort of things. But I just feel like when Phil Foden's exposed on that right-hand side, he can't have the impact in the game that he he truly wants.
I agree.
So for the first, what was it, 50, 55 minutes, he was out on that right, isolated. As soon as he come into the centre, he's a different player. Bernardo Silva goes on to the right. And I just thought maybe in this game, if he would have started in the centre from the start, we might have had a different outcome.
Well, but they played both him and De Bruyne more centrally, didn't they, for the last 35 minutes or so, 40
almost
minutes.
Almost like two number 10s.
And they looked, they actually looked like that was in the spell. They were really, really, really dominant at that point. But Gareth Southgate's going to have similar problems working that out, isn't he, in the summer. But lovely problems to have, to have that player available and the depth of squad that England have got. I did what I did in the same as last week. I was watching the Manchester City-Real Madrid game on my TV, and I had Arsenal on the laptop, but that looked a fairly even game. Could have gone either way, and both teams had, you know, half chances. Always a tough place to go and play, though, Bayern Munich. And Harry Kane through to the semi-final, you know, wouldn't be bad, would it? A Champions League success and European Championship glory, if that came to pass, after getting so much stick for winning nothing. But he's got, you know, there's some significant steps to go before that can be achieved.
I was just about to say, would you fancy them in that semi-final, Bayern?
I think they'll be second favourites. I think they've struggled at times this season. But predicting things in this competition this season...
No, exactly.
I mean, I saw Micah's little clip on CBS giving it, like, so confidently giving it the four results on the big board.
I've been absolutely slaughtered on this last 24 hours.
I can
oh my lord.
Did you get everyone wrong?
The Real Madrid fans have been in my DMs. Oh, I'm not exaggerating. I've had at least 150 DMs from Real Madrid fans.
They're the worst.
And the thing is, if you actually look at what we're saying, Man City were favourites to win that. You got second leg at home. You're thinking Man City, especially after last season when they beat them 4-0 at home. So anyone with a decent footballing brain is going to pick Man City. Arsenal, we didn't know. We always said with Arsenal, but I went with my heart. Arsenal, I'm not going to back my team. And Bayern Munich this season have not been the greatest. We've seen about Leverkusen winning the league, etc., etc. Atletico go to Dortmund with a one-goal lead. The manager, Simeone, is known for his tactical nous in the low block. You're thinking, come on, they're going to go through there. And then PSG, Barcelona. Everyone's been talking about killing Mbappe. He's not the same. And the only reason why PSG basically went through is because Araujo got sent off. Araujo. Can I pronounce that?
You don't have to convince us, Micah, that you think you know what you're talking about.
The one thing that football predictions will do is from time to time make you look, everybody look a complete fool. So don't take it on board, Micah. I think I made the same predictions as you. But I didn't go confidently pointing at the board with a super confidence. It's going to be Manchester City. Arsenal didn't make it. I mean, it's been a tough few days for them, hasn't it?
I was like you guys. I was I watched on the TV. I had City, and then the same on my iPad. I had Arsenal, and it looked a very even game. Not a lot in it. The last few days for them has been torture, hasn't it? I mean, getting beaten off Villa. Do you think that would have affected them going into that Bayern game and then
possibly
getting knocked out of the Champions League? Oh God, what a terrible few days it's been for Arsenal.
It's been tough, hasn't it? It really has. I mean, there's always that question mark around Arteta. He's had time, he's had money to spend. I still believe in what Arteta's done. He's going up against Klopp within the league, one of the best managers in what he's done at Liverpool, Pep at Man City. And don't forget, they're new to this competition. You know, I think when you start doing well, everyone wants results straight away. This will give them so much confidence going into next season. It's like Arsenal this season, with the league. They look a better team than last season.
Are we seeing signs of it ending in a similar manner to last season?
No, I don't think we are. It was always, if you look at the games where Arsenal have struggled, you go through the fixtures, it's when they've had three games a week, really. I think that's the next step for them, where Man City can deal with the three games a week. I think that's just the next step for Arsenal now. And I think at left back, I won't say they've struggled, but it's been a weaker point with Zinchenko at times. They brought in Tomiyasu, who's not been the same. They've had Kirio as well, who's played in that left-back position. So they've not had a constant.
Timber got injured, didn't he, right at the start of the season?
Timber gets injured at the start of the season. So they're all very good players in that position, but they've not been performing potentially at that consistent level. But I don't think it's one of those things, and I'm saying this obviously because I've got a love for Arsenal, but they've done well with a young squad. They just need now to don't let the wheels fall off.
It can't end like it did last season though, did it? It can't, because exactly. Otherwise that, what Gary's just said, that accusation is going to be chucked at them from in between now until the end of the season, I think is huge for Arsenal, because if they don't do it, then it's going to, they're this exactly the same thing is going to be chucked at them, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, even if they just missed out on the title because Manchester City won every game, if they, you know, if they now kind of win pretty much every game before the end of the season, they can hold their heads up, can't they? Just they can't afford to collapse. Like, but they are years behind Manchester City in their development, aren't they? And probably Liverpool as well.
You know what I think as well? If you look at Man City Arsenal this season in the league, obviously they took, what was it, 4 points off Man City. It took so much out of them. When you go to Villa at home, and I don't know if it's subconsciously, but you think, oh, the big one's out the way now. We've done what we need to do. The confidence is high. And then we look at Arsenal and the way, and we talked about it last week, about where they approached that game and sort of dropping Havertz a little bit deeper. If they would have respected Villa like they respected Man City, maybe they would have had a different outcome. It's almost like they said, okay, we've got Villa, we should beat them at home, we'll change the tactics a little bit, but they should have just went with the same tactics as they have done in the bigger games, I thought.
I mean, it's coming back to football, isn't it? It's tiny margins, and that, you know, they've not been hammered at all by Bayern Munich. It was very, very tight, two-legged affair against obviously a monster of a football club. So, you know, but to get two results like that, suddenly, you know, you're going for a double and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, blimey, they might lead the season empty-handed again. But let's discuss the other two semi-finals after we take a little break. And let's try and predict, Micah, who's going to go through to the final.
Honestly, if one of you presenters asked me to do a prediction again, I'm walking off.
Okay, I'll ask you right at the end then. Let's take a breather.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Rest Is Football with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and me, Gary Lineker. We're discussing the week's Champions League fixtures. We're recording this on Thursday, so we don't know what's happened in the Europa League and the Conference League. There is a danger, of course, that given the nature of those games, that England could end up without a single semi-finalist in Europe. Let's hope that's not the case. But let's talk about the other two semi-finals, starting with Barcelona-PSG. Barcelona won, obviously, away in Paris the week before with the Wonder Kids. They score an early goal. It's looking like wonderful. We're watching the game. And then, what's his name again, Micah? The red card? Come on, give it your best shot.
Areujo.
Areujo.
Are you kidding me? Listen, Micah, and I'll get a little Spanish. Araujo.
Araujo.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Very good, Al. Works with Jordi, I think.
The thing is about this game as well, though, Gaz, before you go on, we had an interview as well after with Luis Enrique.
Oh, did you?
And there was a clip a couple weeks back in the Champions League. Micah, I love you. I love the way you...
Yeah, I saw that.
Honest to God, he come back after, so after the game and whatnot, and really nice guy.
Yeah,
we go to interview him again. He comes with a straight face, stern face, and basically said, so I come on loud and obnoxious as I am. Luis Enrique, how are we? He's got a straight face on him. And everyone in the studio is like, oh my God.
Awkward.
Awkward. And he said, I've got a problem with you. The producers in my ear basically said, oh my God, Michael, what have you done? He said, you said Barcelona are going to go through. You were my idol and now you're not my friend. Honestly, I was sweating.
Yeah. I presume he was joking. Half joking.
I think he was joking, but he meant it. You know, one of those ones.
Alan, I can tell you, I can guarantee you now that Micah is going to predict that PSG will go to the final.
I'm picking Madrid and I'm picking PSG. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, if ever there's a turning point in a game, though, it was that, wasn't it? Because Barca, it was a red card.
It was, though, wasn't it? I mean, as much as you...
Have you seen the little bit of fallout between Gundogan and Araujo? I think Gundogan was a little bit critical. He said, you know, he should have let him... Even if they score, we're still winning. But what he did, I mean, I'm not sure he should probably have said that publicly. Araujo came and kind of did a reasonable response. But when a player does that, though, early in the game, Alan, it kind of kills you, doesn't it? Against a quality opposition. And also, Araujo was the one player that they thought could cope with Mbappe because he is quick.
It was the game changer of the game. I mean, whatever you want to do. Yeah, without that decision, then they're probably not going through. And PSG, again, they've had some luck in this competition, by the way, because remember that ridiculous decision that against them, and I'm not just bringing it up because it's Newcastle. They might not even have been in that position.
I can't remember the last time
decision.
You mentioned it, Alan.
I'm still bitter over it.
Were they in the Champions League, Newcastle, were they?
For a couple of weeks, Micah.
Hey, we had the group of death. Those two are now in the semi-final.
Yeah.
If you had said to me when Newcastle played both of those teams and they would have both been in the semi-final of the Champions League, I would have said, no chance, not a chance. It just goes to show. And they got a bit of luck the other night, but fair play to them. They made the most of it. And
you need a bit of luck in a competition, whatever competition, you know, the Champions League and this. I mean, there's so little to choose between once you get to this stage that you do need that break. City didn't get it. Arsenal didn't get a break. Barcelona, I mean, I know it's obviously, you know, it's self-harm in a way, but at the same time, that kind of thing makes such a massive difference, especially when you're up against the likes of Mbappe.
Correct.
Of course. But I think with that, go on, say it for me, guys. Araujo.
Go on, Michael. What was it?
Araujo.
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 Araujo, Michael. Not ho. Araujo. Araujo.
Araujo.
But anyway, you know, people are talking about that decision, whether you agree with it or you're not. As a defender in that position there, it was just a reaction, you know? So
just instinctive, isn't it? Yeah.
Like a millisecond too late.
Yes, it just mistimed the challenge.
Well, he thinks he's going to get the ball, doesn't he? That's what he thinks.
Exactly.
You know, so I get it.
And that's what, I think there's a big like talk over, should he? It's just like, he's just mistimed the shoulder badge, you know? He should have just thought about it a little bit more and just not gone in for the challenge, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the red card for that offence. I think unless it's clearly an obvious, you know, if someone's clearly obviously hacking someone down that's through on goal, you know, those ones where it's just a fractionally late timed and there's no intent whatsoever. I don't know. I just feel it ruins the game. It makes it what kind of one-sided, and I understand why it was a red card. I'm not going to say it's not a red card, and under the current guidelines and laws and all those sort of things. But I don't know. Just felt a bit, yeah. Especially after the start, Barcelona got, that was a bit of a run from Lamine Yamal. Well, it's
brilliant, wasn't it?
Talent,
pace, ability, everything. It was just magnificent, wasn't it? Superb.
Mbappe. Back scoring goals, obviously one of them a penalty and the other, you know, customary finish from the great man. Could easily be a PSG-Real Madrid final with possibly Mbappe about to go to Real Madrid. It's those sort of things do happen, don't they? I suppose that's probably the most likely final, isn't it? But we'll come to predictions in a minute, because I know Mike is desperate to make amends for his mistakes in the quarterfinal by getting the two semi-finalists results right. Dortmund, Atletico Madrid. I don't think any of us saw that being 4-2 to Dortmund. I mean, Simeone as a manager in a game with 11 goals over the two legs is something unusual.
Couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And if you'd watched Atletico Madrid this season, they've been a little bit more expansive in the way they want to play. But at the right times, they've gone into a low block. But in this game, there was all over the place.
The only thing I would say, Micah, that if you've watched them a lot this season, away from home, they have really struggled. So I wasn't necessarily surprised in the fact that Dortmund turned it around, given Atletico's away form, but it was the manner and the fact that they got themselves into such a good position and kind of poor defending and stuff, which is not what you see from a Simeone side.
Yeah, but that stadium, you know, when they get going... Yeah. When that stadium gets going, they've got so. Whoa! I mean, bloody hell, the atmosphere.
Have you been there, Alan? Have you played there?
I've never been there. I've just seen it. I didn't go there this season with Newcastle. I've just seen the atmosphere and everything else. It's just, I'm rocking.
Oh, it's amazing. I've done a couple of games there over the years at Dortmund in the Champions League and the Yellow Wall.
Mad, eh?
It's kind of Anfield-esque in a way, you know, that it gives them that kind of advantage.
Before we move on this, I just want to give a shout out to Mattson. You know, I watched Burnley
he's
in the
Chelsea
Championship.
Player, isn't he?
A lot. He's on loan from Chelsea, he scores a goal. He's one I really thought would have a key part in what Chelsea wanted to do this season. It didn't transpire for him. He goes to Dortmund, scoring in the quarterfinals. All-round game was good. And Jadon Sancho, 18 months ago, do you think he'd be playing semi-final of a Champions League? Probably not. I don't think he was amazing in the game, but he played really well for the team. It's good to see the turnaround, definitely.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, the thing is, of course, if you go back to the first leg, Atletico could have put it to bed in the first half an hour, couldn't they? Again, that's football. You've got to take your chances, haven't you, when you get them. But I don't think overall over the two leg, that was probably their problem. Right, two semi-finals. Who's going to win them? Micah!
So we've got Bayern and Madrid on one side. I'm never going against Madrid again in my life. I can't deal with the abuse.
That's as good a reason as any. The thing we've got now as well, you think, you know what we're like. We're all a bit tribal in many ways. So you're thinking, right, one of our English players, but we've got quite a few at most of those places. Three of them anyway, we've got obviously. But particularly Bellingham versus Kane in the semi-final.
And Dyer, he played, didn't he? Did all right, the lad.
You mentioned Jadon Sancho as well and for Dortmund. And, you know, Matson's on loan from Chelsea. There's a few players from the Premier League that were in the Premier League.
Who are you going for, Big Mix? Who are you
going for?
I'm going for the brilliance of Kylian Mbappe, PSG.
I've got a feeling it's going to be a PSG Real Madrid final.
Yeah.
So who do you think have been... do you think PSG, Real Madrid final, Micah?
Agreed. Exactly.
I think it's almost meant to be with Mbappe's last game for PSG against possibly the team that is most likely to join Real Madrid. But I don't know, there won't be a lot in it between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Not a lot. That's a tough one to call that. It's 50-50, I think, in my book. Maybe slight. I would say 60-40 Real Madrid, actually, I think. Alan?
As much as I hate to agree with you boys, I would have to say the same. Yeah, I would go Real Madrid and PSG.
Okay. A couple of topics away from the Champions League I'd like to discuss before we bid you farewell. Monday night, we haven't had the chance to talk about it yet. An unbelievable performance from a certain Cole Palmer. I mean, England have got four of the best number 10s probably in world football, haven't they?
Amazing,
isn't Bellingham,
it?
Phil Foden, Cole Palmer and James Maddison you probably put in there as well. Extraordinary talent in that area of the field. But what a performance, wasn't it? Cool.
Outrageously good. I mean, the confidence, the belief, all types of different goals. I mean, the header, the tap-in, you know, right place, right time.
Yeah,
the good chip movement. From... God knows how far out. The penalty, I mean, what faff on that was the other players trying to take the penalty off him. It was like, oh my God.
What were they doing? What were they thinking? He scored
stupid.
Every penalty he's taken.
Idiot.
And the same thing happened in, if you remember, we did, I did the FA Cup, you didn't do it, but I did the FA Cup tie, Chelsea-Leicester.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened there. Do you remember when Sterling grabbed the ball off him?
Yeah.
I mean, he was... incandescent with rage, wasn't he, after the game? Poch, I've never seen him come out and be so riled, because an amazing victory, an amazing performance and a brilliant individual performance was overshadowed by this nonsense about the penalty. You could see why he was riled, couldn't you?
Yeah, I was so glad, because everyone's talking about Poch as a bit of a soft touch and all that, and he could have glossed over it because they'd won 6-0, but he made a statement to basically say, this is not good enough and don't do it again. And I just thought it was brilliant management.
Yeah, me too. When they said, did you decide who's... He is the penalty taker. And quite rightly so, because I think he's got 100% record, hasn't he?
Brilliant at the penalties, man. He's so cool at them.
He's brilliant at everything. I have to say, he keeps getting better and better and better. He's in the England squad, isn't he? I mean, Gareth could do with a squad of about 45, the way it's going, but the amount of players we've said. But he didn't feature at all, really, in the two England friendlies recently. I was starting to think he didn't want him to go on in case he did well and he's got, I've got to put another player in. But I don't think he can not pick him.
With his form.
Yeah.
I mean, we're yet to hear whether it's going to be a squad of 26 or still of 23, aren't we? So we'll have to wait for that. That would make it a lot bloody easier for Gareth that getting up to 26. Without doubt, he has to have played his way into his squad. I mean, the form that he's in, the goals that he's scoring. 20 league goals. He sat top of the list for Haaland. As we sit here, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's madness.
Who would have predicted that at the start of the season?
No one.
I think the wider point and the wider conversation is, like, Alan's completely right. The squad, and we talk about players and their positions. The good thing about Cole Palmer, I think he's very affected from the right and centre, and he actually can play false nine. So if you talk about someone like Watkins, he wants to run in behind. Tony, very good link-up play. But Cole Palmer is very good with his back to goal as well. And he can dribble past people. So he has to go. It's imperative he goes.
I think it's more a question now of whether he can get himself into the starting lineup and, you know, which position, obviously, because there's so much talent in those areas. But this is the measure for me of what he's done this season. It's not that difficult to be really good in a side that's thriving and a side that's successful and a side that's got momentum and they're playing well. It's really not that easy to be outstanding in a side that have been struggling to find form, that have been struggling to find confidence, that have been struggling to find their best formation, that have been struggling to find their starting lineup. He has excelled despite all the issues that Chelsea had. And I know he's got that nickname Ice Cold, but he really is, isn't he? It does look like absolutely nothing affects him.
Great attitude. What an attitude. He absolutely looks... He just looks so calm, looks so cool, everything what you've said. On the penalties, you're just hugely confident that he's just, give me the ball, I'll take it and do what I have to do. And he's got a great style, technique. I love his attitude. I bloody love his attitude.
And that penalty thing's important because if you want to win a major championship, the chances are you're going to have to win a penalty shootout at some
point.
I mean, it's very rare that I think, you know, Pep might get something wrong, but I think with Cole Palmer, they might have erred.
It was just one of those, wasn't it, where Cole Palmer wanted to play right now.
Yeah, and you can see why.
Jadon Sancho before he left to go to Dortmund. It's difficult because when you've got Foden wants to play as a number 10, but then you've got Kevin De Bruyne. Then Foden gets shifted out to the right. Last year you had Mahrez, like where can you fit him in? But I just wish he went out on loan and he was ready to come back next season, raring to go. So yeah, it's a bitter one to swallow.
One more issue I want to raise just before we go, and that is the abolishment of FA Cup replays. I'm not a fan of replays. I understand their significance, particularly to the smaller clubs, the lower league clubs, and I totally get that, and the possible finance of a replay that they may get. I know it doesn't happen very often, but it is the case. But I do worry about, you know, the amount of games that footballers play. So the fewer fixtures, the better in that sense. Plus, of course, you've got the Champions League, which will be more games next season, possibly. But it's not really about the top clubs. It's about the smaller clubs. So if they've taken the replay away, I think they need to find a way of recompensing the lower clubs in another way, whether it's to give them all the revenue, perhaps, of wherever they're drawn, or whether the lower team... wherever they are in the football pyramid gets the home tie, although I would understand if players, you know, they want to play at Old Trafford, they want to play at Anfield and Stamford Bridge and, you know, and all the big grounds. So what are your thoughts? I think mine are mixed in a way.
Yeah, I think mine are as well. The extra time we know would get rid of, go straight to penalties. You're probably in with a better shout of going through on penalties and getting the lucrative game the next round anyway if you were to get through.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree.
So
with
yeah,
that.
I'm of that opinion as well. Probably I think it's probably going to split opinion, isn't it, of whether they think it's right or wrong.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the only club competition in the world that has replays.
It's tough, isn't it? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But like you said, I think it's becoming very elitist, and this is what I don't like. I think the format is great. And like Gary, you said there about the revenue, it's important to these lower clubs. It's already harder for the lower end of the Premier League clubs to challenge the top end of the elite. And now if you take, you know, the lower leagues and you're thinking, okay, if we could get a draw, then we can go to Old Trafford. We got two sets of revenue. This is what it feels to me like they're getting forgotten about. And that's a bit that doesn't really sit well with me.
I think maybe the way around this is thinking about it again is possibly the club in the lower league gets the profits of the day.
Yeah, the gate receipt or whatever, even a larger percentage. Yeah.
Yeah. They look at, you know, they've got to find a way of looking after clubs that bloody well need the money, and that is and the case. And the other news is that it's not for the first time, but they've now decided that from here on in, the FA Cup will not be the last game of the domestic season. That will be the penultimate game of the domestic season. Now, I know in recent years it's happened once or twice, and it's another one of those things that goes against tradition. as it were, but it also shows, I think, perhaps the power that the Premier League has over football in this country.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that as a huge issue. There's going to be no Premier League football on that day, on the cup final day anyway, is there? So I think that's important. But in terms of it, I wouldn't lose too much sleep over that.
No, me neither. Micah?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, you know, when the FA Cup's a week after the season as well, that week after the season, you're just twiddling your thumbs, aren't you? You don't quite know, like, it's a weird period. Whereas I think if it's before and there's still something to play for at the end, it's all just complicated, isn't it? But I think that the wider issue is how big the Premier League and European football has become. And as long as we're looking after the lower teams, is it going to matter a week later in the season or a week before? It shouldn't. But as long as it's fair, you know, we just don't want to run away with the big teams, because it's not fair to where the...
Those big Premier League giants that have failed to get into the Champions League semi-finals. And on that note, we'll bid you farewell. We'll be back on Monday with a review of the weekend's games in another vital weekend of Premier League football. But for now, goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.